bam, and you say, God damn, this is a dope jam. I'm broad, hello, I'm abroad, hi, I'm broader than Broadway. You know it, sing along. Hess, I'm broad, Hess, I'm broad, Hess, I'm broader than Broadway. And you know you're doing it too, and we're diddling, 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 diddling ourselves, and it feels so good. Ooh, titty shake. Your sauce will misk with ours. That'll make a good goulash, baby. Oh, yeah. What time is it? It's time for Get Wood with your pal, Jess Wood. Hello, everyone. Hi, all my pals. Hi, my gorgeous peoples and lovers. Hi, baby. Hi, hi, hello, hello. I love the people in the chat so far. Titty shake, boop, boop, boop. Gonna sing a song. Dreamcatcher. Okay, if you're not here live, then what are you doing with your life? But really, the Dreamcatcher in the background, I caught just at the moment I was starting, and I was like, well, too late. I don't know if you can hear the knocking from upstairs, but it's a little methy up there. You know what I mean? What a meth. You know what I'm saying? Just upstairs. Oh, we just know it's not maintenance because of the hours that the knocking and the little, it sounds like maybe they're taking apart a VCR. VCR? How old are you? Old enough, baby. Remember when we used to say that? How embarrassing. Who raised us? Nobody. That's why we said that, because we thought, you know, well, we're adults. How old are you, little girl? Old enough. Oh, no. Are you okay? Have you been abused? Oh, dear God. Hey, getting started here. How was your week, my sweet loves? Were you okay? It seems to be really woo out there. Can I use that word? Yeah. It's like woo out there. And that's why I'm so glad we all get to join together on this very beautiful, blessed Tuesday, and have a little giggle, have a little laugh, have a little, maybe a deep thought once in a while, but, you know, not unlike Jan, who's Jan? Not unlike Jack Handley, deep thoughts. I certainly go in and out of, come on, lighting difficulty and stuff like that. Anyways, hey, you know, last week I didn't even mention Ursher. How could I not mention Ursher? We had a Super Bowl halftime show that I loved it. A lot of people didn't like it, and I don't know, maybe they are grouchy. Oh, I should tell you about my jewels, because you know why? They're lovers of the show. This pirate necklace, it's called, it's got an anchor and some sparks. They're the pirate. It's a pirate necklace. It comes with a bottle of whiskey. No, it comes with no whiskey. But it's from the babes at Babel Studio. And you know, if you follow Babel Studio, it's a small business owned by a delightful couple in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Please follow them. Please buy from small business. They also made these lovely barrettes. You know, my mother used to say, barrettes. Jesse, I love your barrettes. Yeah. So my mom also said collage. Anyway, so I'm wearing the pirate guitar, wearing the pirate necklace. And then the other necklace is, if you can see, it's a beautiful shell carved into what? A mermaid, motherfucker! Bonjour, motherfucker. It's a pirate and a mermaid. Yes. magic. It's magic. It's beautiful. I'm very singy today because I was listening to the... I was listening to... Stop it! I was listening to the... Hey! I was listening to the soundtrack from Chicago and all that jazz. But the song that I really found myself singing a lot, and this, you know, maybe it's the energy from outside as I started this whole thing with, and maybe it was the Super Bowl halftime show with Ursher, but I got a thank you, my love. You know, I'm not imagining the knocking. It's a meth. Upstairs, it's so methy. I can't stand it. Anyway, the song that I was really singing a lot was like, he didn't. He really took it. Anyway, talking about murdering men. Ursher, let's get back to Ursher. There were pole dancers. Shout out to Dahlia. Yeah, that's my pole friend. You guys, I have pole friends. Like, I'm cool like that. Fucking pole friends. Don't you have pole friends? Some people are pole people because they just want to stay in shape. Some people are pole people because they want to go do a, you know, a dance on the pole. Some people are pole people because it's their job. Anyway, shout out to all the pole people. Hey. Hey. Anyway, oh, I feel, did you hear that? That was Chicago, the soundtrack. Anyway, Ursher. Roller skating? Come on. This is all our shit, right? Roller skating. Also, a pole in his basement. And let's see what I'm doing. You know, I'm just kidding. Let's see what I'm doing. Like, there, a pole in his basement. There were things that were in our lives as younger people that were just so, And roller skating. A pole in his basement, looking at you, when you're talking best friend, look at your reflection in the mirror, girl, my ass getting big. I know I'm slaughtering the fucking song, you don't have to tell me, and I know that's not even his, all right, so anyway, I enjoyed it so much, and I was just making fun, of course, the whole time. I'm like, how many white ladies are up like, yeah, but then all the memes about Jermaine Dupri and what he was wearing. Because honestly, I thought it was CeeLo. And a lot of people thought it was CeeLo. Not in a racist way. In an outfit way. You know? So, yeah. Anyway, with the socks. But then Ursher had... He was all fine. And with the Alicia Keys. Woo! And look at Swizz Beatz, just such a gentleman, such a grown man person, and saying it's art, it's love, it's what it's art and love. Like, they didn't go, she didn't blow him in the backstage. Like, this is, anyway, so I just thought the whole thing was so lovely, and I thought it was such a great representation of our generation, because, you know, our generation, we have a difficult time. As I said earlier, the whole world is kind of having a difficult time right now, but I feel like because we were mostly alone as kids, and we have these things that we hold so dear to our hearts and from our memory. So the nostalgia is so strong right now, right? Like, as you get older and you're like, oh, remember when I didn't care about likes? You know what I mean? Like, maybe I'm just speaking for myself. How many fucking friends? How many real friends do you have? Anyway, I really thought the whole Usher halftime show was really fun and spectacular. And then I thought the memes afterwards were just another, you know, icing on the cake with the what was the fucking Ben Stiller? I'm going to talk about two Ben Stiller movies right now. The Ben Stiller movie where they put the meme next to what Ursher and everybody was wearing, Luda was wearing at the end, and they looked like they wanted to be like a Marvel superhero guy, but they ended up looking like a what was the ball? You know what I'm talking, dodgeball. When they looked like the dodgeball guys, Ben Stiller and them, same kind of outfits. It was weird how it was really the same kind of, when they placed it together, you were like, oh no. So the other Ben Stiller movie that I'd like to talk about in the first 10 minutes of the show here really has nothing to do with much except for my week. And you know, I talk about my week on here, and I really am so pleased that we're all here together, and you know, you can send me stuff about your week and I'd love to talk about it, or you know, send me stuff that you want me to talk about and I'd love to talk about it. You know, I love to talk. Okay. So, Ursher. Oh, wait. No. What? Stop it. Oh, my God. Stop it. Okay. Stop. Go. Okay. I'm live. This is live right now. You're seeing all the things. Okay. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to scratch what I was just going to say. I'll get back to it. But I'm going to... it was the Ben Stiller. I know what it was. It was my week. It was the Ben Stiller. All right. It's because it has to do with my digestive tract. That's so stupid. It's called the ileocecal valve. And if you've read a book called The Confederacy of Dunces, the main character who lives with his mom, is it registering? Anyways, the main character who lives with his mom has a problem with his ileocecal valve. And his ileocecal valve is so bad, he claims, that he can't have a job and he has to live with his mom and all that stuff. So I actually do have a problem with my valve. Stop it. I know I shouldn't laugh. It's an illness. It hurts. It like everything hurts. You feel like you're sick. Your back goes out. You can't breathe. Like it's a whole thing. I mean, for me. Anyways, Ben Stiller movie called Flirting with Disaster, which I really, really want you to see if you haven't seen. If you haven't seen it. This is never. Okay, come on. Really? Okay. So anyway, will this be the whole time? Who knows? Do I continue on? I guess, right? This is my time. Hey, Mr. Hand, you keep saying it's your time, but if you're here and I'm here, doesn't that make it our time? Fast times. All right, thank you. Anyway. Flirting with Disaster is a fantastic movie, and it's starring Ben Stiller and Patricia Arquette. There are tons of other people in it. Lily Tomlin happens to play the woman who has an ileocecal valve issue. So it's real, and they've used it in only a couple of things, and those are both really old things. Things. Am I an old thing now? Okay. Let's get back on. I am so sorry. I have to apologize again for the noise, the banging upstairs, the methy times. It's very distracting for me. Okay. I am going to continue. I'm going to soldier on because that's what I am. I'm a trooper. Do you know the story about me being a trooper or me not being a trooper and being told to be a trooper by this white girl who was a girlfriend of one of my ex-boyfriend's friends? I'm doing air quotes around these people because, oh God, they were horrifying. Anyway, they were up all night one night when we were in some fakakta place, some waspy fucking, you know, area that I felt unsafe in. And the people that we were staying with, all his friends, were staying up all night and like drinking and screaming and making noise and fucking clunking around. And like, I'm like, I'd like to fucking sleep. And we drove all this way to be with you fools anyway. And you can't even give us respect enough to fucking be quiet for like, I mean, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Just fucking shut the fuck up for like a couple hours. Yeah. And the girlfriend of one of the guys was like, you know, you have to let them like do what they're going to do. You have to be a good girlfriend. She told me to be. Suck my dick. I am a good girl. I'm the fucking best girlfriend. Suck my dick. And she can suck it. She goes, you have to be a good girlfriend and you need to be a trooper, Jess. You have to be a trooper. And so like, I was like, absolutely not. This is not a boot camp. This is not an army. I didn't join this fucking, this is not a, I'm like, I was taken here. I did not volunteer for this. I was taken here against my will. And I don't like any of you fools. Bunch of richo fucking nerds. You know what I mean? Like, ew. Like, there's no, what kind of interesting things are you going to talk about? Nothing. Money. How to make money. Ew. Get the fuck. Anyway, my problem though, I how do I blame them? I was there. I let myself be there. And you know what's an interesting thing to me, to you maybe? Have you ever put yourself, like made yourself not yourself for someone? I mean, I think we've all done it. I think it's a pretty human thing to do. When you meet someone and you're really maybe attracted to them in some way that makes you feel like, okay, I'm so attracted to them. I probably shouldn't show them like my real self. And then I'm going to pretend like I'm okay with all these things. And then I'm going to pretend like all the things okay. Or maybe they look like what quote unquote normal looks like. And what quote unquote normal look. Now I just feel like they're doing it like when I talk. Because anyway, so I was with this person for quite some time, and I think it's because I thought I had to be like normal or something, because this gentleman used to tell me when I would come out like in one of my fun outfit, you know, I'm an outfit wearer, I like a fun outfit, you know me, we love a fun outfit, you and I. Anyway, I'd come out and he'd be like, oh, that's, you have quite a style of your own. You know, like one of those bullshit backhanded fucking cop. Fuck you, waspo. You know what I mean? Like, get a fucking, get a grip. That's what his mom used to say to me when I would tell her, like, I don't wear tampons, I wear pads. She'd be like, just get a grip. And I would be like, what, on the string, bitch? Shit, you get a grip. Oh, my God. Anyways. Let's move off of that. But I've done that before and never again, you know, never again will I adjust my person for another person. Never again will I be unauthentic with myself or others, because we're losing time here, folks. Time is short on this planet. And damn it, Janet. All right, what are you building? Like a fucking shelf? All right, I feel like it's, is it my dad? Is that why it gives me a more trauma response? Because I grew up with people who built shelves out of two by fours and a few bricks. Any of you kids out there have that in your house? Like where your dad or your stepdad or your auntie or your mama or whomever took care of you or whoever lived in the house with you that was an adult, they ever build one of those shelves that was just made out of the couple of 2x4s and the bricks stacked on the side? I bet you they did. Did they also clean their weed on a record album cover with a playing card as their, I don't know what you would call it. What do you call it when you pull the card up and you scrape the album cover and try to get the seeds and the stems out of the weed? I don't know what medical term that is, but someone will probably write it to me at some point. And I thank you ahead of time for that, my sweet, smart, amazing motherfucking listeners. All right, talked about the valve. Now, I know you love a good Subway story, and boy, have I got one for you. Boop, 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 a doop, a doop, dop. First of all, this violin player, you know, I'm so blessed to live in New York City because you get to get on the subway train and it's not all like it says in the news. You know what I mean? Like, I am blessed to be on the train a lot with a lot of dancers, a lot of singers, a lot of musicians, and a lot of them are really good because, you know, we live in a city where there are unbelievable artists and performers. So, goddamn, do a busk, sing for your supper. I love it. I think it's fantastic. So, you know, I will not go on and tell a story. I mean, could you imagine me? I've seen comic type people get on the subway and be like, hey, ladies and gentlemen, any birthdays in here? And I'm like, oh, I'm dying for you. You gotta get out of here. Don't do it. Like, don't engage with the people. Just entertain them and then see if they want to put something in your hat. You know what I mean? Anyway, this violinist got on and I was like, damn right. And a lot of times you can't see because you're face the other way and it's like, nah, 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 you know, and you go, ooh, la la. And you don't even have to turn around. It's just this beautiful music sets over your, I was going to say sets over your face. What? Sure. This music sets over your face. It goes in your ears, so it has to come through your face. Come through your face? Okay, stop analyzing yourself so much. So the violinist decides to play Hava Nagila. Not that everyone doesn't know that already. Also, the song. He also plays the Godfather theme. You know, the Godfather theme. And then he played like a marching band, like a New Orleans Mardi Gras, you know, through the street kind of. And oh my goodness, I thought to myself, this gentleman is representing like everybody. He's like, we're here in New York and we're here to represent. And I mean, who knows? He might have had a song that was in Chinese, like another song that was a Chinese song after that he played in another car with like maybe somewhere from the Mid East, some sort of song. Like we heard last night, our friend played music that he said it was like gypsy mob music. And it was like, and it did have a lot of fiddle. Hey, Clay, it did have a little fiddling in it. And you know, can I just mention that fiddling, what's with the country? I know it's never not been here, the country music, but are we all going to wear the hats again? Like, don't get me wrong. You people could find pictures of me with a fucking hat on, but it's like orange, you know what I mean? Like with a weird, you know, or like straw and I'm wearing like a weird halter, but from the 90s, you know, the 1900s. And so, yeah. Anyway, so this violinist came on. He represented. He did the Jewish, the Italian, the Blacks. He was fucking psyched to be there. And he fucking did his thing. And it was beautiful. It was fucking beautiful. So I was really psyched that I was there to get to listen. And yeah, I flipped him a dollar. Okay, next subway story. Damn. Okay, so you know when you get onto the train and you're like, ooh, there was a something that just happened here. There was a something. There was a situation at hand. And then I entered, and perhaps it's at its end. And it was. There was a gentleman about my age, and he was he was saying to another gentleman, about 30, then leave it at that then, homie. And I know when you hear then leave it at that then, there was some words maybe. I don't know if they were exchanged so much because the gentleman who was around 30 was just on his phone. He didn't look like, and he didn't look like he had had any part, but maybe he did. Maybe I'm a Judge Mathis. You know, I don't want to be a Judge Mathis, but he was with his phone and he didn't look secure. He looked frightened. So, one stop, leave it at that, homie, leave it at that, from the gentleman who was closer to my age. And then the younger gentleman, he switched cars. So, you know, I understand. God bless. So I thought that would leave it at that, but it did not leave it at that. The gentleman who who was my age. Now listen, I'm going to preface this with, I felt this man was correct in so many of the things that he was saying. Let me enlighten you. Okay. And he didn't look homeless. He just looked like a man who was maybe a little angry about some shit that was going on in the world, and he couldn't really keep quiet anymore. And he was in New York. You know, he's a New Yorker, and he knows he can speak his mind in New York, and no one's really going to say anything unless somebody wants to say something, and then he can say something back. Like, leave it at that, homie, that he said to the man. Okay. So he goes on to say, and I wrote it down because I wanted to have it. I transcribed it from a notebook to another notebook. Don't worry, my loves. I got you. Okay. And leave it at that, homie. Got that. Okay. Then he just yells out, and I don't think he was to anyone in particular, but you know when you look around the train and every single person is on their phone? This gentleman yells out, social media is not going to save your life. He's right. Then he said, because I had to look at my notes. Stop being so stupid. And I am with him. These are factual things. Social media is not going to save your life. Stop being so stupid. He's factual. Thank you. Clay agrees. Okay. He went on. He said, and there's this sickness in the United States. United. Question mark. And it's called racism. It's worse than AIDS, you know. Kills more people than AIDS. It's like, I want to drop the microphone. Do you know? Oh my God. The depth, the reality of it all. And the fact that nobody, not one person even looked up from their phones. Now, granted, I'm one of those odd men out, women out, witches out, that is not on the phone all the whole time, because I enjoy absorbing what the fuck life is going on around me. So I'm busy writing. I'm busy transcribing like I'm in a courtroom, for God's sakes. I was transcribing. He's not wrong. He's exactly right. And you know what? We need him to get a platform somewhere. I'll be his platform. And I hope that I run into him again on the Q train. Let him speak. Let him speak his facts. Spit that knowledge, sir. And also, you know, I feel like if you were in New York or grew up in New York or you were coming to New York from wherever you lived and you as like a young, like a, you know, I don't know, like a teenager and then in your early 20s and you got the experience of having to be able to like go to the bodega and get yourself a fucking 40 ounce, walk around and smoke weed, hear Wu-Tang or Nas or Biggie being played out of cars or out of the fucking people's radios walking. I mean, the experience was so visceral. The experience was so real. The you know, and I know I sound like I'm like an ancient elderly person, but I'm just saying, like, even last night, we had such a moment, me and a few of my friends, of the idea about nostalgia and how lucky we all were to be around in times where we actually had to use our personality, to build our character, to learn how to communicate with other people, to learn how to stay safe, to fucking speak up for yourself, to, you know what I mean? Like, you can't, yeah, exactly. We miss it. We miss those nights where you just knew you had to go home because the fucking streetlight came on. You know what I mean? The music was talking about shit that mattered and things that would move you and say, God damn, you know, we got it. Yeah, that's right. We do got, like I even said, I was listening to fucking old school hip hop before I start the show. Cause you know, I like to get a little hyped up and, a little hyped. And it was Run DMC, King of Rock. Soca MC, will call me Isaiah, right? It's my kingdom. I just got a hair in my mouth. I got so excited. But there's three of us, but we're not the Beatles. You know, that to me struck me as a younger girl when I listened to that for the first time. I thought, you know what? God bless, babe. Like, do some, you know, like, let everybody know we are all connected, please. Like, how do we let everyone know we all listen to the same shit? We all feel the same shit. We're all struggling with the same shit. And that's why Subway Guy, he's got to run for something. Social media. And who can't, you know, I miss Patrice O'Neal. Even though Patrice O'Neal, God rest his soul, Patrice O'Neal used to scream at us as younger comedian people. He would scream at us youngers and he'd tell us, you're not ready yet. You fucking suck. Go back and get some more open mic time. Come back in 6 months when you got some more time under your belt. You're not fucking around wasting our fucking time. You know how many times I was told I was wasting people's time? Well, one time I was nodding out because I was still doing heroin. Because you know I did it backwards, right? Like, I didn't get the comedy going and then get into heroin. I got the heroin going and then got into comedy. Hey, ooh, probably better because I'm still alive. Hello. Anyway, let's not waste each other's times. What are you, Clay, you're fucking hilarious. Ursher. Yeah, you gotta keep, you know what? Keep from going under. Listen, that was just on before Run DMC, King of Rock. Don't make me say that I knew. I told my friend just now, my gorgeous, beautiful, smart roomie. I told her, I said, Jewel, check this out. I had a dance to this when I was single digit years old. As a doing the thing. Broken glass everywhere. People pissing on the stage like they just don't care. Oh my God. You know, because I had also was on welfare with my mom, I knew what it was like to be in the welfare office and the unemployment office. So like, got no money to move out. I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back. Got no money to move out. Or broke my sacrodiliac. You know, I'm getting it all confused and everything like that. But, you know, I'm close. You know what I'm talking about. So, anyway, I had all that stuff. Like, I didn't break my sacrodiliac. But we did have a problem. And we lived in a hotel. You know what I mean? Like, it was, I could relate is what I'm saying. So, I sang it, and then I sang it, and, you know, a child is born with no state of mind, blind to the world of mankind. God is smiling on you, but he's frowning too, because only God knows what you'll go through. I mean, God bless, that shit is deep. And if you're a child, and you listen to that as a child, and you understood that as a child, oh my God, baby, I'm hugging you right now. We all deserve a big old hug. And you know what my whole thing about our generation is? Like, we need hugs. We need to trust. Trust it. Trust the good. Trust the good. Anyway. And singing a lot because of the Chicago soundtrack. Oh, speaking of the 90s. Well, that was really the 80s or the 70s, if you want to really go back, Grandmas to Flash Time. But how much they love the 90s right now. Like the kids, oh my God, they love the 90s, the 90s, 90s, 90s nostalgia. I know I've talked about it before, but it's just thrilling to me to watch everything come back. It's fucking crazy, right? So the thing that I'm saying to them is now, I'm going to challenge these fuckers. You want to live like you lived in the 90s? You want to live like how we lived in the 90s? I dare you. First off, you got to shave your motherfucking eyebrows. who's with me. Yeah, shave those shits or pluck them till they're, you can't barely see them anymore. Okay, number one. Number two, get rid of that phone. That phone wasn't around. Phone didn't exist. Get it, put it down. Bye. Bye, phone. Okay, then you got to stay outside without your phone. You got to find your way to meet your friends. And on the way, you're going to have to ask people for directions and shit. This is harder than Squid Game for these bitches. Do you know what I'm saying? And I call them bitches because I don't know the name individually. Should have brought a Honda. You know? So, the 90s. Yes, black eyeliner on your lips. Pow! These kids can't do shit without a TikTok instructional. You know what I'm saying? These poor babies. We're going to have to really tell them a lot of stories during the apocalypse. I mean, we can do it. We've cared for our youngers before. How many of y'all have younger siblings that you had to parent? I see you, and I'm sending you another hug. So kids, remember that movie? Oh, who doesn't? What a thrill. What a thrills, rides, chills. Yikes. Kids. Yeah. So I want to do a shout out to Penny, my girl Penny. I saw her this week. She came by this weekend. She came by. She was here from Detroit. She's originally a New York lady gal that I know from a million years ago. And she, the reason I bring up Kids the movie is because when I saw her and we were with another friend of mine, shout out to Gompa's place. Everybody's safe at Gompa's place. It's almost like a shelter for ladies that are having a hard time. Her apartment. She's very kind. Anyway, all my friends are kind. Shout it out. Anyway. Kids, the movie, was a very intense movie. If you haven't seen it, I really do. I think it's time you saw it. Maybe people told you when you were younger, don't see Kids. It's too traumatizing. It's too much like maybe your real life. But now you're grown. You've gone through some therapy, and I think you can handle it. And if you can't, you can turn it off. My little sweet petunias. Anyway, hi, Rye. So Kids, so I said to my friend Penny, you were like the original Kids. Like, it should have been you instead of Chloe Sevigny. And she goes, yeah, fuck her. You know, like, she totally had, like, beef with Chloe. She was like, you know, me and Harold got into a fight in the casting office. Harold Hunter, another lovely soul that we lost. Shout out to the heavens of Harold. And, yeah, Rosario Dawson. Oh, no. Hi. How you doing? What? You remember? Okay. It was like... Kids was like, that shit was like, it was like a documentary, you know? And my friend Penny's like, yeah, Harmony, he didn't like me, Harmony, because so, Harmony Korine was the writer, and I think it was Larry Clark was the name of the guy who was the photographer, camera, in charge of camera. And really looking back, it's a little Epstein Island, if you ask me. Do you know what I mean? They're really before their time, really ahead of their time in the whole child pornography department. Really a lot of, you know, same with Basketball Diaries. I think I mentioned this as well. A lot of underwear, like boys in their underwear and girls in their underwear, like, young, like 14 years old. Now you're like, aw. But as I said, and I'll bookend the show with this because I know I got to stop soon. How old are you? Old enough. Right? We were raised on foxes, for Christ's sakes. Remember foxes? If you haven't seen it. So on this show, we'll wrap it up, yeah? If you haven't seen it, go and see it. Kids, foxes, flirting with disaster. Okay. All right. Now listen, maybe you want to watch another comedy to kind of settle the drama that happens between Kids and I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, but you know, it's a thing. Okay. I love you guys so much. Listen, I got to go. It's been so fun. I know there was a lot of knocking at the beginning of the show, And I can't, it's very weird that I often will be living near a methy situation. It's such a trip. From Coney Island to Hollywood, she can't get away from the meth. Such a sad state of affairs for the place we're in. And that said, I say, you take my love with you and hold it close all week, and I'll see you next week, and I'm sending you hugs, and I love you so much. And remember, you can always send me stuff. I'd love stuff to talk about from yous. I mean, I love telling yous my stories, but, you know, come on. Let me hear some of your stuff. And let me know if I can use your name, and let me know if I can, you know, I mean, I always ask if somebody throws me something, I ask, hey, can I shout you out for this? All right. You have a marvelous day, my loves. And again, I really, really love that you're here with me. It makes me feel like we do have this lovely community of strong love and enjoyment, fun, stories, killer, silly, pop, pop, boop. All right. Enjoy your week. I love you so much. I'll see you next Tuesday. Okay. And share the show, why don't you? All right. Thanks. Bye. Love you.